freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Yeah, it's a good point here. 425 says, I would have thought Salk was going to ask Jeff about the Mitch Witch for sure. Yeah. I got to see the first pictures of the double Mitch Witch yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna go find one of those on Thursday when I get over to the ballpark. So if you need me, I'll be at the Amazon walk-off market. Grab myself a double Mitch Witch Thursday about 5 o'clock. So just a little heads up there, Brock.
That's where we can meet and greet you. Is that what we're saying?
If somebody's looking to meet and or greet me, yeah, just stake out the double Mitch Witch on Thursday, and I'm sure we'll be able to find each other. All right, from baseball back to football as we kind of bounce around today. I said earlier, just so many different things going on right now in sports, but we are gearing up for the draft just about a month away, Brock, and you're going through the players that you've seen, that you've run across, that you've maybe had a little bit of an extra opportunity to know in various ways and study, and players that you think are just good fits for the Seahawks, not necessarily at number 16, not necessarily your top 10 list, just the guys you think work for the Seahawks every day at 9 o'clock.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Huard's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
And this morning, number 19 on my list, number one in my heart, Husky defensive end Braylon Trice. Kind of low on this scale. You may have thought, as much as I've talked about him over the last couple years, he'd be a top 10 guy for me. He's a little bit lower because when I talk about those traits and checking those boxes, unfortunately for him, that's the one area that he does not. 32-inch arms may not seem like that big of a deal in the NFL, Salk. But they are. When you're an edge rusher and you've got to hold an edge, you've got to sustain an edge against the grown man in the NFL, and those tackles and tight ends that are a little bit different than the guys at Oregon State and Cal and Stanford and other places that you dominated, you got to have some of those traits on the edge. Now, he's 6'3" at the combine. He was 245. That was telling to me. 245. I went back and looked at my board. My board had him at 274 at Washington. 245 to 274 is a big swing. And that tells me that Braylon's a guy that can move that weight around a little bit. He wanted to go to that combine and be as twitchy and as fast as possible because he and his agent knew that even though it's 6'3" is good height, 32-inch arms is not. So I better run and I better jump. Well, he ran 4.72. That's a good number. It's not a great number. You know, the elite guys at the top of this draft, the Dallas Turner, the Jared Verses, are in the 4.5s. So you would love to see... And there was talk early in the year, mid-year, late year, Braylon Trice maybe being a first-rounder. You're not seeing him. And frankly, I'm not seeing him in Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 list. And that's because while we get real tradey, the closer we get to the draft. And the draft is 4 weeks from Thursday. So 32-inch arms, 4.72, that would say mid-round pick. But then the production is just off the charts. Went back and looked at my board. In 2022, Salk, he led the country with 80 pressures. Excuse me, 70 pressures. He led the country. It was Will Anderson behind him. Yeah, Will Anderson was behind him in the number of times this dude in 13 games pressured the quarterback. On a Husky defense, it struggled a little bit at times, mightily at times. There was one guy that did not. There was one disruptor constantly, and his number was number 8, and he was on the edge, and he was wreaking havoc on anyone and everyone. He did it for 13 games in 2022. It's why he was all-conference. It's why he was a second-team All-American. It's why the guys at Pro Football and gals at Pro Football Focus loved him, and he had a tremendous year. Well, fast forward to 2023. And I will say this, and I will say this confidently. The University of Washington does not get to the national title game and go 14-0 without Braylon Trice. There is no chance. If he was not playing on the defensive side of the ball, as good as their offense was, and they were, as dynamic and as talented as all those guys are going to get drafted, and Fautanu and Roma Dunze and Michael Penix, largely in the first round, they do not get to 14-0 without Braylon Trice. He was that disruptive. Once again, leading the team in pressures. Once again, one of the top guys in all of the country in pressure rates, getting and constantly harassing the quarterback. He was a 2 two-time defensive player of the year for the Huskies. He was a team captain. He was a two-time first-team All-Conference. He was a first-team Pro Football Focus All-American, because when you put the tape on and you watch him, you see a total disruptor. Ask Quinn Ewers and those two Texas tackles that are going to play in the NFL what it was like to block number eight. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And he was a force in that game. He was a force for the last 25 of 26 games in which he played, and he was available. I love the durability. I love the availability. And frankly, if he were 6 foot four, Salk, if he were an inch taller and his arms were 2 inches longer and he ran a 4.5, you know what he would be? A first round pick. It's crazy. It's crazy the difference that that makes.
Ifs and buts were candies and nuts.
I know. I know. And he doesn't have the traits, and he's going to be available in maybe the third round for those Seahawks and for a group that needs guys on the edge who know how to play. Derek Hall and Daryl Taylor, you know what they have? Traits. Traits. Long arms, run, body beautiful, looked apart. You know what they did not have in college? Production. You know what this guy has? Unbelievable production. No matter who he played, no matter what tape you put on, the guy was a constant, constant harassment and force. So you want traits? You want production? I think you need both to build a football team and an NFL team at that, and he would be a guy that I would love in the mid-rounds to see fall to the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, that is today's draft profile from Brock Huer. We do that every day here leading up to the draft.
Yeah, just feels
at
good.
9 o'clock. I know how much you love that, because really these do. Guys are your favorites, right? These are all your favorite guys.
Yeah, and there's going to be, let's see, for sure two more Huskies. For okay. sure, maybe three, but for sure two more Huskies on this list.
Okay.
And they're going to fall in all different ranges. There's going to be some guys, and obviously Fautanu's probably my number one. He's for sure in the middle stand. I've talked about him for 6 months. But then there's going to be other guys like Trice that are in the mid-rounds, or Theo Johnson in the mid-rounds, or there's going to be late-round guys, or maybe, who knows, maybe guys that aren't drafted, but I just come across and I say, I want that guy on my football team. I want Braylon Trice on my football team. I want him on my team. When I sat down with him, the words that his teammates said and his coaches said, you know, that I got on my little board here, unwavering, unflappable. 5 years. Took him some time to develop. He wasn't all this and all that coming out of high school, right? He redshirted. He grew. He developed. And, man, over the last 2 years, as I said, he was a force on that defense. It didn't have many others. He was the one huge disruptive difference maker.
You know what I like? What I like Brock's draft profiles. These are one of my favorite things we do every year. I really like these just because it takes such full advantage of what you do on, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday throughout the college football
season.
When I
season. Leave you guys.
Yeah,
when I
love
leave
it.
You every weekend. Yeah. Right? At least, you know, if you're going to leave me every weekend.
Yeah, it's a little return on our investment
that's
here.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Just give me some on the other side.
It's not just that. I love your insight, man. I just think it's so great what you know, the unique perspective you have on some of these guys. And it's different from so many of the other ways that the draft gets covered. So I love this. And generally, these are players that I try to follow a little bit once they make the NFL, if I can remember who they are. All right. Coming up next, we'll give you guys everything you need to know, including the good news, bad news scenario and facing the Mariners right now. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
It's the one thing everybody is hoping won't happen for the Mariners this year, and that is a rash of injuries, certainly at the starting pitcher position more than any other. And yesterday, it's not a rash yet, but Brian Wu goes to start the season on the injured list after experiencing some soreness in his elbow. He did take an MRI. It's considered to be elbow inflammation right now, so no structural damage, which is good news. But going to be shut down for a week to 10 days and then try to ramp back up after that. He's had injuries before to this elbow in particular. He had Tommy John surgery 3 years ago.
He did. And it was last August that he had the same inflammation. And we all thought, well, he's just going to be done for the year. You're going to shut him down. He's already got an innings limit. Nope. The inflammation calmed down. He came back. Mm-hmm. He put those 130 innings on the board, continued to grow and develop. And yeah, now the key question, I think, with Brash, with Santos, and with him, all young guys, is why? Why is this coming about? Why is there even an answer to
that?
Or is it just simply, well, you know what? It's just pitching. It's just being the life of a pitcher, and this is what happens.
I mean, take a look through the transactions across baseball right now and just see how many pitchers are going to start the year on the injured list with inflammation of the elbow or the shoulder or, you know, the triceps or whatever.
Yep.
Even the oblique. Paul Sewald has an oblique injury to start the year. Just, it's a really difficult motion, and it seems to get a lot of these guys. Emerson Hancock will take the spot in the rotation, which is good. I'm actually kind of excited to see what Emerson has, Brock. I know you were quite enamored with what you saw when we were down in Peoria.
Quite a presence.
But after that, it gets thin in a hurry. So you got to make sure that everybody else is able to stay healthy. In the meantime, they just keep winning throughout this exhibition season. They have two in San Diego. They won yesterday 4-1.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, crushed right field. This is hammered. It's on its way, and it's off the wall. Ty France will score. JP right behind him. The throw is cut off. Julio scampers to third. Jorge Polanco, a ringing two-run double, plants it off the wall. The Mariners, the first two runs tonight, it's 2-0 Mariners.
That guy's just a doubles machine, sprays it all over the ballpark, and he has just been a force so far in spring training. He had a couple hits. Canzone had a triple. France had three hits. Bryce Miller pitched pretty well yesterday. So one final tune-up today, then they'll head north to Seattle to take on the Red Sox on Thursday.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
We did finally hear from Shohei Ohtani yesterday. Now, he did not take questions, but he did say quite a bit.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
He was very clear about that, especially that final point. Tim Kirkchian responding.
I've never seen a story switch as big as it did from one day to the next between the interpreter and Shohei. So at least he came out and clarified a few things. I had nothing to do with betting. Now we have to decide, are we going to believe him? I'm going to believe him based on what I saw today, but we still have a lot more information to come out. We still have a lot more questions to be asked.
And I think, Jeff Passan's point and the fact that he answered the exact same way as Tisha Thompson did, who was on the show. Well, let's see really who Ohtani's people went to as far as these criminal charges against one of their own.
Yeah, I thought that was a great explanation because I didn't really understand it when she told us last week. But for him to say, no, it shows how serious he is.
Correct.
Who did he call? What authorities is he bringing into this?
How transparent is he willing to be?
That's right, because he's opening himself up, obviously, to more and more questions and conversations. So really good point there by Jeff. And I think what we all want to know is, how did the guy get access to his accounts to drop $4.5 million at least? All of that is still yet to come out.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
More great college hoops last night. Caitlin Clark and her Iowa Hawkeyes get the win, Brock. They beat West Virginia in a barn burner a little bit. It was a good game. Very physical.
Feisty.
I thought very feisty. West Virginia was after Caitlin Clark and physical with her right from the start. But they responded.
I think we use our crowd. But, we knew we gave up a 10-0 run to start the quarter. But this team was never flustered. And I think that just speaks to our experience. And couldn't be happier for this group. I mean, we wanted to go out on a high note. Our five seniors, these two.
Yeah, last game for them at home because now it's sort of they go off, I think, to Albany next.
They do.
What a story she is, man. She just captures the imagination.
She does, but man, is she getting feisty.
Yeah.
I mean, so much so that her dad told her the other day.
I saw that.
Shut up.
Well, but she's also getting hammered out there.
She is, but I'm starting to see, how much she has to handle.
Yeah.
So how much of the weight of sport is on her? There is not another college men's or women's basketball player that has the weight of expectation, that has the eye of the world, all of the hype, all the attention.
Yep.
I'm starting to feel just some frustrations and cracks in it, just the emotion and the passion of it.
I mean, she still managed to drop, 29 points, but
32
she didn't play that
with
well.
All the free throws at the end.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Just
a quick 30. It was a 32 and a not great effort for her. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Just a reminder, at 22, carrying the weight of all of this expectation to be the next, right? And there had not been an athlete in women's basketball like that. There have been great ones, and Kelsey's a great one. There have been some great ones. Maya Moore, so many of them. But none of them have had the eye and the millions and millions and millions watching every move she makes. And, I think she's starting to feel some of the weight of that pressure.
It does feel that way. All right, that is everything you need to know. Brock and Salk here. where we do that every morning, quarter past every hour. I've really enjoyed the ESPN like halftime show for the women's tournament. It's really good.
Yes.
Rebecca Lobo and Elle Duncan and Andrea Carter. Andrea Carter seems like a star.
Yeah.
She's phenomenal.
Really good.
Really good.
Really good. I think she was on the NBA draft. That's how good she was.
Was she?
Last year.
Man, yes. I watch that.
There's just, no, I understand, but there's just a confidence. Molly said that too. She's like, man, charisma. This guy is really, really
good. She's opinionated. Yep. She knows her stuff. She played at Tennessee. I just looked her up last night because I was curious. Played at Tennessee and then got hurt. So it sort of ended her career kind of before it got going. She was really good, I guess, and then kind of didn't go anywhere because of the injuries. But man, she's impressive. I thought she was awesome. So.
Yeah, the college women's game right now is at a, I mean, South Carolina's unbelievable. Like, it's just at a place. And my buddy, Peyton, going to be dropping. Ooh, I don't know if I can say this. Uh-oh.
Get yourself in trouble?
Well, not necessarily. There's going to be a really cool documentary coming out with women's basketball and some of these prominent players next month. And it's going to be, you know, he did the QB documentary, Omaha Productions, done all of that stuff. There's going to be a really, really neat one that if you, Salk, I know you have enjoyed so much of this, and it's been must-see TV for you and many. It's going to be one heck of a docuseries coming out as well.
Well, you know how much I love a good docuseries. So
yeah, you do.
Sure. You add Peyton Manning to the equation, and it's an absolute guarantee that I will be
We could get that feel when we watched The Long Road Home.
Yeah. Right?
When we all did that together, we could get that feel that night.
It's a slow ride home.
Whatever it is. Darn it.
You got one word right.
You think he's ever going to get that one right?
Slow ride home, long ride home.
What did you call it?
Long road home.
So you got two of the three words wrong.
Slow ride home. Never forgetting it again. S-R-H. Slow ride home. Thank you.
There you go.
All right. Let's see. You want to go back to some baseball? We're just 2 days away from opening day, man. And where the Mariners are at with Brian Wu injured, with a staff that other than that has Jeff Passan talking like John Morosi? What's going on here? It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, we got some ranking to do here in 15 minutes. Following throughout the morning what's been going on at the NFL owners meetings as Mike McDonald and now John Schneider have spoken. And just a couple of thoughts. First of all, they continue to keep the door open, Brock, for Jamal Adams' return, potentially as a linebacker, an off-the-ball inside linebacker, which, okay. And then,
by the way, that's really consistent. That's consistent with everything I've heard.
Are you in favor of that?
No.
Me neither.
No, because I think there's a lot that comes with that.
Yeah, it just feels like
There's just a lot.
The risk-reward doesn't really seem there for me on that one. And then they continue to say they know they've got work to do in the interior of the offensive line and that there will be more there. Well, yeah, good. I think we all know that what they have currently in the interior of their offensive line is not going to cut it.
Also, Brady adding that he said Uchenna Nwosu and Abe Lucas are expected to be ready to go week one.
Oh, good. Well, that's good news as well. All right. So that's what's going on at the owners' meetings. We also were talking a ton of baseball today, and we had Jeff Passan on earlier. And yes, I was teasing him because he sounded like John Morosi, who's like the most positive human being in the world. You hear John every, week in the afternoon show with Bob and Dave, and he's great, but he's very, very, very optimistic, right? We used to talk to him all the time, super optimistic dude. And Jeff generally is the opposite of that, right? Generally with Passan, it's all doom and gloom and negativity. Well, not today.
No. And I think that's in large part because not just of the moves they made this.
Oh, that was the wrong one. That's why it's different from last year. But he was very, very, very,
very Darrison.
He was very bullish. Hold on, let me get the right one.
He was very
bullish on the Mariners in 2024. And I'll be honest, I flirted with picking them to go to the World Series this year. Wow. I didn't do it. But I don't think that it is unrealistic to believe that they have the talent and the ability to win a championship with this team.
Wowzers. I mean, he was a wet blanket. Right?
He was flirting. You think Jeff's got good riz?
Was it Skibbity Ohio?
I thought it was a little Ohio. Yeah, little Ohio his riz. Only in Ohio.
Looking at the numbers, man, sitting from afar, looking at the roster, looking at, what they've done this spring, realizing from a rotation standpoint, most in baseball say this is the best rotation in baseball. man, you look at what Polanco is doing, you know, and just mash. And I know it's spring numbers and everything else, but it does give you a little bit of a little bit of a gauge as you head into the season, what Mitch Haniger is doing, what Mitch Garver has done in the past. And I mean, these are professional at-bats. There's going to be, as you said, a higher contact rate. These are going to be some guys that hopefully even out some of this offense over the course of the peaks and valleys of the last couple of years. Throw in the elite pitching at the top of the rotation, and you start to whet the appetite of the Jeff Passons of the world.
So why do you think it's not translating to the projection systems, which don't particularly – not that they hate the Mariners, but they sort of have them in the 85-86 win range?
Because there's a bunch of good in there, but is there – how much elite and great – other than Julio, how much elite and great is there from a wins above replacement within the lineup? Now, JP is Passon said, maybe a 5-win player, you know, season ago. He was such an unbelievably pleasant surprise. Cal Raleigh, he believes, I'm quoting Passon here because I wrote these things down, could be one of the best catchers in baseball. So, you know, just like we talked about these Seahawks guys, these young guys taking steps, going from good to great. If Cal goes from good to great, if JP maintains that, if Ty can get back to all-star form, I mean, there's a lot of good. Mitch Garver's good. Mitch Haniger's good. There's good. Polanco is good when healthy, is borderline great. But I think those metrics folks are looking at it like, yeah, these are a bunch of good. But how much other than Julio is elite? Who was it yesterday? It was our old buddy Jim Bowden, right? That put them in their lineup 16th in baseball, right? You know, they were 12th in runs scored last year. They still found a way to be better than that last year. I think this is more talent. I think this is a longer lineup, but I believe that's why those metric guys look at it and go, yeah, you know, 85, 86 instead of 90, 91. Got to have a couple more take a step. If Cal takes a step, Salk, if Cal goes from good to great, this can be a 91 team. If JP maintains what he did a year ago, this could be a 90-win team. But those are some ifs that have to be done and haven't been done quite to this point yet. Fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yes, I think, you know.
I think those metrics units also, or measurements also, look at and go, okay, how available has Polanco been the last 2 years? How available has Mitch Haniger been the last 2 years? How available has Mitch Garver been the last couple years? I mean, I think they also factor in, right, their computers, so they just look at the last couple years and, okay, well, here's the production. Here's what they've been the last 2 years.
Here's what other guys who have been injured like that have done in the future. And, and generally, I don't think that's like a fantastic
positive.
Exactly. It's not a great model to follow, unfortunately. I don't know. I find myself so conflicted on this Mariner team in general, because there really are some things I just absolutely love about them. And, you know, I'm still not even really backing down a lot of what I thought last year. Like, I still don't think last year's team was that bad. And I know that that's like the unpopular way of looking at it, but I think last year's team was pretty similar to this year's team. They're built a little bit differently, but talent-wise overall, I think it's pretty similar. Last year's team had more pitching depth significantly, as you saw, because you lost Robbie Ray in the first start of the season, and it didn't waylay your season. It didn't take you out of the running for what you were trying to do. At the same time, you know, you had some more pop in last year's lineup, and there were a couple of guys that, you know, in Teoscar and Colton Wong, that unfortunately, in Colton's case, just completely fell off of everything they'd ever done before. I was never excited about Pollock. I was never excited about Listella. But again, Listella was there for a couple of weeks until Dylan Moore was healthy again. So I'm not that concerned about the fact that Tommy Listella was
last year, going into it at this time, you were counting on some at-bats from Pollock.
Yes.
As a platoon guy, you were counting on some at-bats from Listella as a DH guy until Dylan got better. You were counting on Dylan to come back and be different. You were counting on Teo. You were counting on Colton Wong. You were counting on a few, you know, I mean, you start to count on a bunch of those.
And right now you're counting on Rojas. And right now you're counting on Urias, who, you know, is a complete
One of those two
you count on. You're sort of counting on both of them to, between them, take over third base and platoon in some way. You're counting on Luke Raley. You're counting on Dominic Canzone. And by the way, some of those guys have had fantastic springs, and I'm excited about it.
Correct.
But you're counting on Haniger and Polanco to stay healthy. You're counting on Garver to stay healthy.
That is true.
all of those things are giant question marks to me, in addition to a defense that I think is going to be significantly weaker than it was last year, mm-hmm. and a pitching staff that, while it may have just as high, if not a higher upside, it's got this depth concern that's already starting to rear its head. So,
well, you just answered your question then. So you asked me, and I appreciate you. Maybe you were doing that rhetorically because you were just waiting, you know, to sit on it and then just pounce. But you just answered your own question. Why do the metrics look at this as an 85-win team?
Because there's a lot of risk there.
That's right.
And there's enormous upside. So I know people are going to hear about Salk's down on the Mariners this year. I'm not. I feel pretty good about them, to be honest with you.
Do you feel all scarred from last year?
Me?
Yeah, just you and me talking.
Well, I don't think that there's much of a doubt about that. I don't. That's not some big freaking secret. Do I feel scarred? Jesus, do I have to take off my shirt and show you my back and the giant seven? Brock, yes, of course
I feel scarred. No.
Take it off.
Do I feel
take
scarred?
Take it off. Take
my
it
Lord,
off.
Man, of
prove
course.
It. Prove
of course
it.
I feel scarred.
Let me see that
my
scar.
My gosh. Have we ranked scars? If not, we need to. Where is Rush's scars? Play it for me immediately. I'm as scarred as a human can be. Yes, I'm scarred.
This feels so good to get out. Doesn't it feel good to get out 48 hours?
And this is what's going to make people mad. Like, I still don't feel like I was wrong. I still feel like it was a pretty good team that unfortunately...
You were doing so well.
I know. That unfortunately, like, Salk, had a lot of bad things happen
scar,
to it.
Scarface is number one scar.
Before you were going to say that, you had to say this was one of these insufferably absurd...
Yeah, sorry. It's an insufferable Salk warning.
Yes. Let me give you... I wasn't really that wrong.
Well, that's still how I feel. Like, baseball is a weird sport. And maybe Polanco's going to be, you know, 3 wins better than what you expected from Colton Wong last year. Yep. Or maybe gets hurt 2 weeks in and falls off a cliff the same way.
Yep.
Like, baseball's a weird game.
Or maybe Luke Raley does hit 190. Right?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe he just is the, you know, Tampa's obviously bet on some of that, you know, they felt better making the move that they did and moving on from him. And we gave away our scrappy little backup second baseman. And they feel like, yeah, he's going to hit 200 and he's just going to be kind of that guy. I mean, you don't know, but it is the beauty of it. Because on one side, J.P. Crawford can make a huge stride and be something none of us ever saw. On one side, Geno Smith can take a huge stride and be the comeback player of the year and do something we never thought of. On the other side of it, you can have mass frustration because Ty France was an all-star. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, he was so broken and said so, much.
And those are the things that I still feel like were a bigger problem last year. Ty France had an ungodly terrible year. And it was awful. He was a bad hitter last year. That's a guy that you were counting on to be probably the second best hitter on your team.
Yep. Well, we had that conversation 1 year ago to this day saying, hey, who's going to lead this team in batting average?
Ty France.
I think we asked Jerry. I think we asked Scott. I think we asked everybody. And it was, well, Julio or Ty.
Right.
One of those two because they spray the ball, because, you know, they can just get barrel to the ball, that they can get hits and they can just collect hits. And unfortunately, that did not happen for Ty at all. Hmm. And unfortunately, Teo and Suarez just had massive, massive strikeouts. Some of that was forecasted and they didn't have, as you said, well, the walks and the on base and some of the other things to help offset it. So a bunch of setbacks. I think this year, though, Saul, honestly, as you listen to Aaron Goldsmith, as you listen to Jeff Passan, as you listen to these guys that dig into some of the next level numbers and some of those trends and where they are, this has more, and you've said this a bunch, this one has more redundancy built in than last year did.
Yep.
Especially in the lineup, right? Especially in the makeup of the lineup. It was like, okay, these things going to have to fall in place, and Teo's going to have the power, and Gino's going to have the power to kind of offset some of it because we don't have as much depth and we don't have as much redundancy. This year, it feels like you do. You do. Other than starting pitching, this feels like you have a few more pieces for Scott Service every day and his team of analytics guys and his team build behind the scenes. Like, okay, on this day to beat this pitcher, we've got to have this lineup. And, you know, on this day against this pitcher in the way that their command or their bullpen or where they're taxing, all the stuff and all the iterations, I think we're going to see a lot of lineups this year. I don't think you're going to see the same lineup for 5 days in a row. I think you're going to see a bunch of different lineups over the course of the year, and these pieces moved around maybe more than they have in any time in Scott Service's 8 years. And I think that will be a good thing. As Jeff Passan said, every win matters.
Yep.
April matters. And can I give you one positive kind of good sign, even more kind of if you want to get even more excited about Julio? Luke Arkins yesterday, heard our conversation about some of the ups and downs, especially early in the season, and shot me a note on cold weather games. Games below 50 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the Mariners had a lot of guys on that list.
I bet they did.
Yeah, as you can imagine. There's JP, and there's Julio, and well, there's Polanco from his time out in Minnesota, mm-hmm. too. You know where, let's see, Julio, 50-some games under 50 degrees, 962 OPS.
Wow.
Actually, and it was six in baseball. Eight right behind him was actually Ty France, sitting there at a seven, almost 800 OPS.
This so, just from last year?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a couple guys that just last year cut through in some really cold weather games, good. Played a lot of them, and that weather did not affect them early. And
well, that'll be great. I think they're my reasons for optimism. I kind of talking through them earlier this week, and it does start with Julio. I mean, I think just like Jeff said, I think he is going to be poised for a monster season. I think this is
can
the,
you imagine if he gets to 45-45?
Yes, I can.
Can you? I mean, can you yes, imagine what I that can. Would do to our market? Can you imagine what it would do to our fans? Yes. Can you imagine what it would do to his star power?
All of those things. And you know, he and I both kind of saw it the same way. I may not have numbers to back up that year three is the year that a guy has his MVP kind of season, but it all makes sense, right? You kind well, of come up as a rookie.
That? Why don't you go do what that guy did and wrote that article?
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that. Yeah, but
why don't
I'm going to
find 100 guys in year three.
I'm going to go through the logic of it, which is, again, in year one, you're a rookie, and you're kind of dealing with the ups and downs of learning. Year two, yep. The league adjusts to you, and it's not atypical to have a sophomore slump. And, oh, by the way, Julio also had the All-Star game here and the pressure and everything that went with that. But by year three, you start to block out some of the noise. You realize how to say no. You get back to focusing on all of the things that made you great to begin with, and now you're a veteran? Yeah, yep. I think this is the year Julio's talent shines through everything else. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to go to the playoffs and beyond, I think it's very much going to be on Julio's back. I'm psyched, man. Just 2 days away from talking baseball and watching it every single night. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Right now, let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
Well, Brock, with the Shohei Ohtani betting scandal, not to mention whatever was going on with Jante Porter in Toronto, we realized we had not ranked bets. Bets ranked.
What?
We've got a lot.
Place your bets. Who you think should be number one?
Really?
Take them now.
Well, I suggested bets, and I think as you'll see, Brock, half this list is another word.
Well, there's Mookie Betts. Certainly you want to make sure you get him out there.
Chill.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
So, you know where you're a little different, and I guess Mora too, a little different, and Mora moved around, whereas you were just a Northeasterner through and through in your upbringing. I was thinking about this betting scandal and back to my years and guys and how many of them. It was mostly the Northeast guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes. Did you ever get into it? Did you ever have a phase where you were into it at all?
No, but I've told you the story. I mean, like, you
know,
a guy in my high school, when I was trying on my junior prom tux, this guy comes in and is like... He was working there, and we heard him from... We were in the dressing room, and they were, like, threatening him over $10,000 he owed. We were like, oh, my gosh. What has happened to this poor guy?
Why do you think you never got... As much as you love sport and everything else, you just never got entangled in that, huh?
No.
Because, honestly, to avoid it. Most of my teammates professionally Northeast. That were into that were all Northeast
Absolutely.
Guys.
Yep. That's true.
Huh. Come out blue. Pat Benatar. She's got better day. Pat Benatar.
This is not Pat Benatar.
Benatar.
No, it's not. That's Betty Davis Eyes from King
Arms. I didn't know that one either, though, Brock.
Remember, we were just watching her on the We Are the World documentary.
Oh, that was her?
That was Kim Carnes.
Was it really? The blonde?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She sang Betty Davis Eyes.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, see, I got you. Thanks. I'm here to help. I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah. My kids love this one. Megan Trainor, better when I'm dancing.
I didn't know she had another song besides All About That Bass.
One I know. She's got that one.
No Treble.
That's the one my kids like.
All About That Bass.
I saw this band in concert. That's better than Ezra, Rod.
Objectively better terrible than. Band.
Terrible
Justin,
band?
You ever
terrible
have a betting band. Phase? Do you ever go through a betting phase? Justin?
Brock, I would rather light money on fire and warm my hands over it than do anything.
Okay. Mora, ever a betting phase?
No. I bet like... people $10 for Pride. Like,
right.
No. Nope.
I mean, I like to bet on, you know, blackjack.
Nope.
Sure.
Just not sports.
Yeah. I mean, I guess fantasy football, I've done groups where you put in a small amount, but it's nothing big.
Yeah, we bet punishments, not money.
Because you're hoping to one day be considered for the next cast of Jackass.
But it doesn't matter, Brock, because we're not ranking bets. We're ranking betties and better.
No, we're ranking bets.
Bet. It's just bad.
Even better than the real thing. There's some U2.
Let me hear that Mora sound that you... Why did you have to cut that, Justin?
It's just her singing Creed.
Scott Stapp. It's Mora.
Yeah, get that one on there.
Okay.
Harder, better.
Did you,
faster, stronger.
Did you already say Jerome Bettis?
I have not yet mentioned the bus. Oh, love the bus.
You see his son going to Notre Dame?
No, is that true?
Yeah, he's a talented son.
I believe that.
Uh-huh. The running back?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know who this is, Brock?
Ain't you kind of weird and ain't you kind of gay? When you hear me say I love you, or tell me, baby, or ain't you?
You know who that is?
No.
That's Betty,
no.
Betty Boop.
Gosh darn, I was going to say that.
Yeah, you should have. Of course, there's Ugly Betty. Better Call Saul. Better Off Dead. For Better For Worse. Better Late Than Never. Mo Better Blues. There's a lot.
Old enough to know better, but still too young to care, right, bro?
Sure, yeah.
Betty Lou's Getting Out Tonight. That's Bob Seger. You want to do the top five?
I don't think you've ever lost Mora.
More than
any
today.
Rank than you have today.
Perfect. Number five.
Yeah, that's right. Black Betty,
bam, lam, whoa. Whoa, Black Betty, bam, lam, whoa. Black Betty, bam, lam, whoa. Damn thing gone wild. This moves your water. This one moves your water.
Ram Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This ain't bad.
Justin, I couldn't play Bette Midler. I just couldn't do it. I'm
Why
sorry.
Not?
I just couldn't.
How about this instead?
Wind Beneath
then?
My Wings?
I just couldn't do it.
How about
you couldn't?
How about this? This should be the number one, and you won't do it, so I'll play it.
Okay. Bet the house, bet the mortgage, bet your job, bet your wife, bet your kids, bet your husband. Who said that?
Jeez.
What a jerk.
Some guy made a bet.
What a jerk.
0% chance.
Honolulu Blue. No chance.
What a jerk. Number four. And go to see dreams
and can't find a better man. Pearl Jam, one of my favorites. Better man. I was listening to Eddie and Bruce.
Yeah.
Some compilation. I didn't realize he was it in Seattle that he would join him on stage a couple years ago? It was awesome.
I don't know where that was.
That was awesome.
Probably in Seattle. Would make sense.
That's a good song.
You like Better Man?
Better Man, I do.
Right, that's number four.
Yellow Ledbetter, too, that we didn't do.
Love Yellow Ledbetter.
That's one of Brock's favorites right there.
Yeah. Funniest bit we ever did on the show.
Better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Funniest bit we ever did on this show.
The,
putting Lou Holtz to Yellow Ledbetter.
It's true.
It was incredible. Was
number three, Bets Ranked.
The Who. Is the Who?
Yeah.
Nice. You're probably saving Unieski Betancourt for number one. 206 called that one out. That's a pretty good bet.
He's going to be right there. I mean, like Nuno Betancourt could have been on there, though, from Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, I think, a Raphael Betancourt.
There was.
Right?
Yeah.
Who was that? Pitcher?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Reliever.
All right, number two, Bets Ranked.
Sure, I didn't flop around on the floor with my eyes bulging out, gasping for air. I haven't done that at a party in years.
The one and only Betty White. Brock.
So good.
Betty White. Have you seen any of the anything about the new Golden Girls?
No.
Is that something you'll watch?
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Actually,
Saul, that's not it.
Actually, no. Do you want me to tell you about our free agents? Actually.
Actually, no. You wouldn't watch New Golden Girls?
No, the original Golden Girls was tremendous.
Right, so this is Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, and Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, that's a good cast.
It's a pretty good cast, and it's just 10 episodes.
It's a great cast.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that.
All right.
Justin, you want this before I get to number one just for you? Did you
ever know thank you.
Oh, thank you. My hero. Do you know that the last two American Idols... sat and watched on the couch. I cried in both of them. Why?
You cried both of them?
Why?
Both
American Idols? Crying at American Idol?
Yes.
Why?
Because of the stories and the talents of these young people. It just blows me away.
Good producers.
Maybe you think you're better off alone.
That's number number one?
No.
360 says, are we sure this isn't Better's ranked? And the 206 says, I'm usually down for words that are a stretch, but this goes too far. Better and Bets are
it's
not just Better's ranked. You were trying to include something bets. Else, too. What were you
oh,
trying?
Between.
Between.
Did you get Mookie?
I did. I said Mookie.
Early on.
Yeah. Between. I should have put that one in there.
What are we at number?
We're at number one.
Okay.
I don't have any sound for it, but Justin, you get to call it.
It's her birthday on Friday.
Yep.
Betsy.
Yeah.
That's number one bet. Girlfriend of Justin.
She's going to the Mariners game.
Wow.
See number you there. One.
No sound, though.
No sound.
Do you think she's going to be excited to find out she made number one on ranked? Is this a big moment for her?
She'll love it. Congratulations, Betsy. Happy early birthday.
Way to go, Bets.
I bet Betsy. Moore is tired of ranked. I bet she is.
Love it.
Can I get the Creed sound one more time, please?
Oh, you know what, Brock? You sure can. You want both of them?
Yes.
That's your bottom dollar. You can get that again. Tomorrow, you can bet on Sam Howell joining us at 7:30, and then we'll start getting ready for opening day on Thursday as well. You can bet on Bump and Stacy coming in next, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, Brock,
Better believe it, Marn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!